Trump's first 100 days and the rapid remaking of a nation, date modified colon 2025-04-27T2334:09.141Z, description colon the impact of what President Trump has done so far is being felt in every corner of American life, comma dot. The rapid remaking of a nation, in 100 days, one day ago, save, Anthony Zurcher and Tom Gogan, BBC News, Washington, save, BBC. During last year's presidential campaign, Donald Trump constantly repeated his intention to bring about dramatic change as soon as he returned to the White House. But few expected it to come at such breakneck speed. In the 3 months since he took the oath of office, the 47th president has deployed his power in a way that compares to few predecessors. In stacks of bound documents signed off with a presidential pen and policy announcements made in all caps on social media, his blizzard of executive actions has reached into every corner of American life. To his supporters, the shock and awe approach has been a tangible demonstration of an all-action president, delivering on his promises and enacting long-awaited reforms. But his critics fear he is doing irreparable harm to the country and overstepping his powers, crippling important government functions and perhaps permanently reshaping the presidency in the process. Here are six turning points from the first 100 days. A social media post sets off a constitutional firestorm. For once, it wasn't a Trump social media post that sparked an outcry. 3 weeks into the new term, at 10:13 a.m. on a Sunday morning, Vice President J.D. Vance wrote 9 words that signaled a strategy which has since shaped the Trump administration's second term. "Judges aren't allowed to control the executive's legitimate power," he declared on X. In the media frenzy that followed, legal experts lined up to challenge that assertion, pointing to a 220-year-old principle which lies at the heart of American democracy. Courts have the power to check and strike down any government action, laws, regulations, and executive orders they think violates the U.S. Constitution. Vance's words represented a brazen challenge to judicial authority and, more broadly, the system of three co-equal branches of government crafted by America's founders. But Trump and his team remain unapologetic in extending the reach of the executive branch into the two other domains, Congress and the courts. Getty Images, three co-equal branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial, were crafted by America's founders. The White House has moved aggressively to wrest control of spending from Congress, unilaterally defunding programs and entire agencies. This erosion of its power has been largely met by silence on Capitol Hill, where Trump's Republicans hold slim majorities in both chambers. The courts have been more resistant, with well over 100 rulings so far halting presidential actions they deem to be unconstitutional, according to a tally by the New York Times. Some of the biggest clashes have been over Trump's immigration crackdown. In March, more than 200 Venezuelans deemed a danger to the U.S. were deported to El Salvador, many under sweeping wartime powers and without the usual process of evidence being presented in court. A Republican-appointed judge on a federal appeals court said he was shocked by how the White House had acted. Now the branches come too close to grinding irrevocably against one another in a conflict that promises to diminish both, Judge J. Harvey Wilkinson wrote. Trump and White House officials have said they will obey court rulings, even as the president lambasts many of the judges who issue them and the administration at times moves slowly to fully comply. It all amounts to a unique test of a constitutional system that for centuries has operated under a certain amount of good faith. While Trump has been at the center of this push, one of his principal agents of chaos is a man who wasn't born in the U.S., but who built a business empire there, brandishing a chainsaw, dressed in black. Elon Musk, dressed in black from head to toe and wearing sunglasses, stood center stage and basked in the adulation of the conservative political action conference crowd. The richest man in the world, who wants to cut trillions of dollars from the federal government, said he had a special surprise. Argentinian President Javier Milei, known for his own budget slashing, emerged from backstage and handed him a shiny gold chainsaw. "This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy," Musk exclaimed. Chainsaw. Getty Images, Elon Musk leaves the stage holding a chainsaw after speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference, it was a dramatic illustration not only of Musk's enthusiasm for his Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, assignment, but also of the near rockstar status that the South African-born technologist has developed among the Trump faithful. Since that appearance, Musk has dispatched his operatives across the federal government, pushing to access sensitive government databases and identify programs to slash. Although he has not come anywhere near to finding the trillions of dollars of waste he once promised, his cuts have drastically reduced dozens of agencies and departments, essentially shutting down the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, and attempting to dismantle the Department of Education. While pledges to cut waste, fraud, and abuse in government and trim the ballooning federal deficit typically have broad appeal, the manner in which Musk has used his metaphorical chainsaw has led to conflict with senior government officials and stoked anger among some of the American public. Some Trump supporters may approve of the administration's aggressive budget cutting, but other constituents have berated Republican legislators at town hall events. Hecklers have expressed fear that the cuts will adversely affect popular government programs like Social Security retirement plans, veterans benefits, and health insurance coverage for the poor and elderly. Their concerns may not be entirely misplaced, given that these schemes make up the bulk of federal spending. If these programs are not cut back, sweeping tax cuts that Trump has promised would further increase the scale of U.S. government debt and put at risk arguably his biggest election promise, economic prosperity. I had to think fast as billions was lost before my eyes when trader Richard McDonald saw Trump hold up his charts in the White House Rose Garden showing a list of countries targeted by U.S. tariffs. He knew he had to act fast. I jumped to my feet because I wasn't expecting a board of charts, I was expecting an announcement, he says. McDonald expected tariff cuts of 10% or 20%, but says nobody expected these huge numbers. He raced to understand which companies might be worst hit. Then he sold. There are billions being wiped off share prices every second, so it's really fastest finger first. He is one of the many traders who were at the coalface of global markets when share prices plunged everywhere following Trump's so-called Liberation Day tariff announcement. The S&P 500 index of the largest firms listed in the U.S. was hit particularly hard, and even though the White House has reversed course on some of the highest tariffs, it hasn't fully recovered since. Getty Images, the U.S. stock market plummeted after President Trump announced Liberation Day tariffs. The economy was the biggest concern for U.S. voters in November's election, and Trump rode a tide of deep unhappiness over Biden's handling of inflation all the way to victory. His pledge to cut prices, pare back government regulation and boost homegrown industry was a pro-business message warmly welcomed on Wall Street and by many working Americans. But as Trump tries to follow through on his promise of new tariffs, the economic costs, at least in the short term, have become painfully apparent. The stock market is sinking, interest rates, including for home mortgages, are rising, and consumer confidence is down. Unemployment is also ticking up, in part due to the growing number of federal employees forced out of their jobs. The Federal Reserve Bank, along with economic experts, warn Trump's plan will shrink economic growth and possibly lead to a recession. While the president's approval ratings on his handling of the economy have tumbled, many of his supporters are sticking with him. And in former industrial areas hollowed out by the loss of manufacturing jobs, there are hopes that tariffs could even the global playing field. Trump has earned back the respect, says truck driver Ben Moorer in Pennsylvania, referring to tariffs on China. We are still the force to be reckoned with. Economic concerns have contributed to Trump's overall decline in the polls, but in one key area, he is still largely on solid ground in the public's eye, immigration, spotted in a photo, my son, shackled in prison, it's him. It's him. I recognize his features, says Myrilis Cacique Lopez, pointing at a photo of men shackled and cuffed on the floor of one of the most infamous prisons in the world. She had spotted her son in the image, taken from above, of a sea of shaven heads belonging to men in white t-shirts sat in long, straight rows. At home in Maracay, Venezuela, Ms. Cacique was shown the photograph, first shared online by the El Salvador authorities, by a BBC reporter. When she last had contact with her son, he was in the U.S. and facing deportation to Venezuela, but now he was 1,430 miles, 2,300 kilometers, away from her, one of 238 men sent by U.S. authorities to a notorious mega jail in El Salvador. Reuters, U.S. deports alleged members of the Venezuela gang Tren de Aragua to Secote prison in El Salvador. The Trump administration says they are members of the Tren de Aragua gang, a powerful, multinational crime operation, but Ms. Cacique insists her son is innocent. A tough stance on immigration was a central plank of Trump's re-election campaign, and the president has used his broad powers of enforcement to deliver that pledge. Illegal border crossings were falling at the end of the Biden presidency, but are now at their lowest monthly total for more than 4 years. A majority of the U.S. public still backs the crackdown, but it has had a chilling effect on communities of foreign students who have found themselves caught up in the blitz. Some, including permanent residents, have been detained and face deportation because of their role in pro-Palestinian campus protests. They have rejected accusations that they support Hamas. Civil rights lawyers warn that some migrants are being deported without due process, sweeping up the innocent among the killers and thugs that Trump says are being targeted. While so far there haven't been the level of mass deportations that some hoped for and others feared, newly empowered immigration enforcement agents have taken action across the U.S. in businesses, homes, and churches. They have been active in universities too, which have become a prominent target of President Trump in several other ways. A clash with academic, media, and corporate worlds on April 21, Harvard University's president, Alan Garber, decided to confront the White House head-on. In a letter to the university community, he announced a lawsuit challenging the Trump administration's move to freeze billions of dollars in federal grants. It was, he said, an illegal attempt to impose unprecedented and improper control over Harvard's operations. The White House said it had to take action because Harvard had not tackled anti-Semitism on campus, an issue that Garber said the university was taking steps to address. But the Ivy League college's move was the most prominent display of resistance against Trump's use of presidential power to target American higher education, a long-standing goal energized by pro-Palestinian protests that engulfed campuses in 2024.